Studio 360 is supported by the Vilcek Foundation, honoring immigrant contributions to American society. The 2017 Vilcek Prizes recognize neurobiologists Lily and Yu-Nung Jan and artist Nari Ward. More at vilcek.org.
Studio 360.
Robert and Clara Schumann were classical music's original power couple. He was one of the leading composers of the 19th century. She was a piano superstar who toured all over Europe playing, among other things, her husband's music. Clara was also a composer herself, but not so well known for that part of her life. She was only in her 30s when Robert Schumann died, and after that she pretty much stopped writing music. Fast forward to 1972, when one of the most celebrated chamber music groups in America, the Beaux-Arts Trio, recorded Clara Schumann's only piano trio, along with three piano trios by her husband. Now that recording has been inducted into the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress. And to tell the story of that album and the Schumann's relationship, we've got a scholar.
My name is John Tibbetts. I'm an associate professor of film and media studies at the University of Kansas.
A biographer.
I'm Anna Beer, and I'm the author of Sounds and Sweet Airs, The Forgotten Women of Classical Music.
And a founding member of the Beaux-Arts Trio.
My name is Menachem Pressler. My occupation is pianist and teacher. My trio recorded the piano trios of Robert Schumann twice. And in the first edition, we also recorded Clara Schumann's trio.
This is the Beaux-Arts Trio at its peak. All three of the performers, Menachem Pressler, Bernard Greenhaus, and Isidore Cohen, are accomplished musicians in their own rights. And these 1972 recordings, I think, are unparalleled in their success in performance.
The three of us loved that music intensely, and we played it with great, great, great passion.
Robert Schumann, at the time of his death, was already regarded as a musical revolutionary. Clara Schumann at that point had become his chief interpreter, as well as a formidable virtuoso pianist.
What Clara had was a hugely ambitious piano teacher father who created this prodigy, and as part of that, she would be expected to perform her own music. In fact, it all helped to fuel her superstar status.
And her work with Robert, both as an interpreter and as an inspirer of his music, carried forward an awful lot of piano music by her husband and by many others of the day.
She helped to establish the German tradition of Bach and Beethoven, and she wanted to make sure her husband, Robert Schumann, was part of that tradition. So one of the great ironies of Clara Schumann's life is that she helped create a tradition that would exclude her.
The Schumann piano trios that we're talking about today were born out of house music performances, small, intimate groupings, and I think to an extent the music shows that kind of intimacy.
Clara Schumann wrote her piano trio in the summer of 1846. She'd just done a house move from Leipzig to Dresden, partly because Robert Schumann had had the first serious mental breakdown that he'd had during their married life. She had three young children and was pregnant with her fourth child, who would be born only 11 months after the last baby's birth. The poor thing suffers a miscarriage then, and she writes this piano trio in the midst of all that.
Clara's trio is very beautiful, and her piano part is exciting. It's difficult.
Well, of course, both Clara and Robert Schumann were great friends with Felix Mendelssohn, one of the leading figures of the day in Leipzig. Therefore, Clara's piano trio displays more of a Mendelssohnian lightness than I think can be said generally of the piano trios of her husband, Robert. So we listen to Clara's music as being shall I say it, a bit more modest and very gentle.
I found it very hard to write about Clara and Robert as a creative couple, because looking at the letters and the diaries and the archives, you simply see it as attritional. You see every single week the diminishing of Clara Schumann as a creative person and a sort of subtle kind of oppression going on domestically and beyond the home. The marriage began with great ideals on both sides, certainly on Robert's side, that they would both be composers together. But you try having two pianos in the same house, you try having a child every year and still keeping two careers going. We're still not doing it very well in the 21st century. It's not surprising that it didn't work in Leipzig in the early 19th century.
She was a great pianist, but the genius of Robert is the composer. Was not Clara's.
Clara Schumann, I think, believed the stories we tell ourselves about the capabilities of men and women. She said women are born to be interpreters, not creators. And yet, in other areas of life, Clara Schumann was very happy to break all the taboos of her society. She certainly left her kids at home. She certainly didn't look after them. She went on grueling tours all over Europe, including during the entire time her husband Robert was in the mental asylum, but also in the months immediately after his death. It was as if she was utterly committed to that. And so we have a young woman's music, we have a performer's music. It is glorious, but one does wonder what she might have moved on to if circumstances had been different.
Thanks to Devin Strolovich from BMP Audio for producing that story. We've got lots more stories about great records that have been entered into the National Recording Registry at the Library of Congress, and you can listen to them all at studio360.org.